be seated. Our great God, let's read some scripture together that tells us about him and what he did because of his love. Let's sing this together. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because of his great love, he lifted us up. We're going to take time for the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. Before that, we want to just introduce a song to you that talks about our great God and how he is love. Listen. How great this love. Oh, it's moving on my mountains. This perfect love. It's casting out my fear. How great this love. Oh, it welcomes me like family. And anywhere I go, it meets me there. And he is good. And he is God. What I earned is not what I. Say about him, my God is love. How great this love. Oh, it's faithful through my failures. This trusted love is with me till the end. How great this love. Oh, it's closer than a brother. This is love. He died so I could live. Yes, he is good, and he is God. What I earned, it's not what I got, and he is just. So good.
I say about you? My God is love. What more could I say about him? My God is love. What more could I say about him? My God is love.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated.
We are going to move into a time of the Lord's Supper, so if you will grab your elements, you should have received this on the way in. If you didn't, you can quickly go grab that, and if you're watching online, grab a Dorito or a cracker or whatever you got, and we're going to do this together. I do want to encourage you. We here at Simpsonville Baptist, we have an open table, so if you're a believer in Christ, we believe that you can participate in this time. This is a personal time. We do not take this time lightly. One thing we do ask is that you're the gate for your children. If you are here and you have children here with you and they are believers in Christ and they've accepted him as Savior, then you be the guard of that. But we ask that if they are not believers in Christ, or maybe you are not, that you please refrain from taking the Lord's Supper as we do this morning. But the Bible tells us that as we take the Lord's Supper, it's a reverent time. And so hopefully you've kind of prepared yourself for this moment. You've made a few minutes, but we're going to take a second just to kind of gather our thoughts and to gather ourselves and pray for a second, just to maybe lay some things down at the altar that maybe you brought in with you this morning, or maybe you have going on in your mind. Let's pray. Father, as we are here this morning, we're gathered in your name. Lord, we pray that the things that happen here would be glorifying and honoring to you. God, we pray that you would search our hearts. Father, that we could lay all things before you at the cross. Father, you know us, and you know us well. Lord, I pray that we would have the strength to lay those things down, so that, Father, we would not have any idols before you, God. Father, we pray that you would be honored in this time. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28, it says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And also in 1 Corinthians it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on that night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, he took the cup. And after supper, saying this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You may drink. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for the body and blood of Jesus. Father, we're grateful for an open moment to honor you, to remember the sacrifice that you made for us, for the cleansing power of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we would live our life for you, God, that we would live a sacrificial life. Lord, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. At this time, our children are dismissed to children's church. If you've got a few of those sitting around, and then if you got like a little cup, you can just kind of toss it, set it to the side, do whatever you need to do. I will put mine on Matt's podium. Sorry, Matt. Are y'all good this morning?
Yeah.
Are you cold?
Yeah.
No. Yankee. See, this southern Mississippi boy doesn't like any weather below 60 degrees, much less in the teens or single digits. And so for me, it's like, yeah, it's cold. Even inside, it's cold, even though it's not cold. There we go. It's 1 degree on Monday. Wait till Monday, I hear. So it's cold, you know, wherever you are watching on TV, maybe you're in Florida. Don't rub it in, okay? We love it, though, here. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions as we begin, though. When I was a kid, my mom watched soap operas. Did your parents watch soap operas? Is that a thing still? Are soap operas a thing? Like, do people still watch soap operas? Would you be willing to admit that you watch soap operas? No. Yeah, like some of you are like, yes. But I get it. You know, some people watch soap operas. My mom watched them religiously, though. I mean, she would literally watch them every day. I mean, it was, let me see if I can remember them. General Hospital. These are the days of, like sands through the hourglass. These are the days of our lives, right? I mean, I even as a kid, I remember, I don't know. I couldn't tell you a single character, but I could tell you, that music was distinct. Like sends to the hour, right? And you're like, oh, yay. Soap operas. You know, you knew at that moment, you didn't mess with mom, okay? Like, this is her, like, you know, you zip it, go to your room. This is it, right? And there's one thing about soap operas, I don't really remember much about it, but I do remember this. There was always a snake. It was like every episode, it didn't matter. Like, everybody was friends, and everybody was great, and then all of a sudden, somebody got stabbed in the back. Betrayal, right? And the music would be like, gun, 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 you know? And it just happens that way, right? And I don't know. I don't know if soap operas are a real thing anymore. I don't know if they are still around or not. I don't even know what time they would come on TV. But I felt like it was all day when I was a kid, but I know that it wasn't. But there's always betrayal when it comes to a soap opera. Y'all with me on that? And even throughout history, there's been like great betrayal. Y'all with me on that? Can y'all think of any like major, you know, like, oh man, I remember blah, 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 betrayal at its best, right? Who are some people that maybe you thought of or can think of? You don't have to answer it loud, but just think for a second. And I was trying to think of, like, you know, some, like, betrayal, like, really. And I thought, Julius Caesar. Et tu, Brute? Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? If not, get educated. All right? You know, Benedict Arnold. Are y'all with me on that? Benedict, you know, there's people that call people Benedict Arnolds today. Right? And then my favorite one that I thought of, you know, was Creek. You guys know Creek? You know when Creek betrayed Poppy in Trolls so that he wouldn't be eaten? Creek, you know, to the Bergens? Creek was like, I'll turn them in, you know? And Creek betrayed all of the trolls. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get educated, okay? Learn yourself something. Watch the movie Trolls. It's a great, fun kid movie. You'll love it. You'll hate it. You'll hate it, but your five-year-old will love it, that's for sure. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying, though, right? I mean, seriously, think about that for a minute. You know, throughout history, there have been people who have betrayed people. There's movies about betrayal. Maybe you've betrayed somebody in your own life. Maybe someone has betrayed you. There's a lot of emotion that goes in with that, though, right? Normally, a betrayal doesn't really be a betrayal unless it's someone that's close to you. Is that fair to say? Like, you're not really concerned about betrayal if it's someone that you don't know. You're not really, oh, okay, whatever, and you move on. But if it's someone that you know, and it's someone that you spend time with, and someone that you really care for, and someone that you, and they betray you, everything changes. Is that fair to say? Is that fair to say? I need to hear from the people in the back. Is that fair to say? Yeah, like the people in the back are like, you're talking? Okay. It's fair to say. It's fair to say it's a highly emotional deal. I mean, there could be emotions all over the map. There could be, it's almost like grieving, like one day you're happy, one day you're sad, one day you're mad, one day you're so-and-so or whatever. But betrayal is a thing, right? It just happens in our society. It happens all the time. And I want to talk about today one of the most important betrayals, I feel like, that have ever happened in history. See, Kevin and I are starting a new series today, and it's only a two-week series, but it's called Who Loves You and Who Do You Love? Who loves you and who do you love? See, because this week is the 7th and next week is the 14th. It's Valentine's Day, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so we have a little treat for you next week if you come back. If you don't come back, we ain't got nothing for you. But if you come actually in person, we have actually a physical thing to give you next week. But Kevin's going to bring the thunder next week, and so I'm bringing the lightning today, if that makes any sense. So I hope that you're ready. Grab your Bible. Open up to Luke. That's where we're going to be for a few minutes, and then we're going to also be in Ephesians, then we're going to be in Genesis, then we're going to, I'm just kidding, you're not going to have to go to all those places, but we are going to be in Luke chapter 22. And I think that the most heinous, the most horrific, the greatest, I mean just 100%, the greatest moment of betrayal in history has got to be Judas. It's got to be Judas. I don't care where you stand and what you, even if you're a non-believer, you have to know that this moment of betrayal, that Judas, when he betrays Jesus, has got to be the number one betrayal in history. It supersedes every other betrayal ever, even if you just look at betrayal from the betrayal standpoint. Friends, I mean, very, very intimate friends, spent day and night, life together, doing life together, and he betrays him. Stabs him, literally betrays him with a kiss. With a kiss. And this is hard, but it's kind of what we're going to look at today because we're going to set the scene for later on in understanding who loves you. And that's what we're going to talk about today, who loves you. And the same person that Judas betrays is the same person who loves you today. So let's look at Luke 22. We're going to kind of breeze through Luke 22, 1 to 23. And then we're going to kind of skip down a little bit just to save us some time and look at verse 47 and 48. So I'm reading from the ESV, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, him as Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to him in the absence of a crowd. Now that was for 30 pieces of silver. If you don't have that noted somewhere in your Bible, it's for 30 pieces of silver that Jesus was going to be betrayed by Judas. Think about that for a minute. 30 pieces of silver. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And so Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished, and prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with them. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. Now skip down to 47 and 48. It says, while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, the Gospels have a little bit of a variance in these stories, but they all are the very exact same in the sense that Judas betrayed Jesus. You know, Judas at one point in one of the Gospels says, you know, is it me, Lord? You know, asking Jesus. And of course, Jesus knows who it is, right? He's just kind of doing what Jesus does, kind of leading people down the road. And then also when he actually betrays him, he tells the, you know, everybody says, so, hey, it's the one that I kissed. That's the one that you're going to kill, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. Because that's interesting to me because it's almost like they didn't know who Jesus was. They had to tell, like somebody had to tell them who Jesus was. Because I would feel like Jesus was like somebody that everybody knew. You know, like, or was it just that everybody heard? Clearly in this instance, because he had to kiss him to betray him, they didn't know physically who Jesus was. They had just heard who he was, which is kind of an interesting side note. Anyway, so I want to go back for just a minute, though, and talk about this. So in verse 3, it says, then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. What, can we talk about this for just a minute? What does that mean? Satan entered into Judas. Now, are we talking about a physical manifestation like Satan? There he is. Now he's inside Judas. Or are we talking about like kind of how we are? You know, sometimes inside your heart, you know, it's not right. And Satan kind of enters into your heart. Now, you got to know this, too, about Satan is that he's not omnipresent, right? So we know that Satan had to be at one place at one time. He's not like God. He can't be everywhere at the same time, right? Because the Lord is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times, right? So with the devil, though, you got to know that he's there. This is the moment. This is like, okay, I've got somebody that's going to take Jesus down. I'm going to be there, right? You got to know that Satan is there. Satan was there to tempt Jesus with all of these things. You got to know that in this moment, Satan is physically probably there, right? I don't know that there was like a actual physical like, hey, I'm going to get inside this guy and swim around and be, you know, Satan in Judas. But I do know that in his heart, Satan definitely entered into his heart. And it immediately turned him into something that he wasn't. Or was he? Ephesians chapter 2, we have this scripture that we're going to pull up. We're going to read through verses 1 to 3. And Ephesians chapter 2, starting in 1, says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And so when we read this passage of scripture and we read and hear about Judas betraying Jesus, we can completely understand this. Don't sit in that chair and think for a second that you can't understand what Judas was going through. Because you know exactly what Judas was going through. You know exactly the jealousy that he felt in his heart. You know exactly the greed that he felt in his soul, right? You know exactly the way that Judas feels because we too are children of disobedience and children of wrath just like him. Don't sit in that chair or sit at home and think, not me. 100% you. 100% me. Because outside of the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, we are all destined for hell. Every single one of us. We are children of disobedience, children of wrath. There's no way to get out of that. You were born into this world. It's called original sin, friend. Okay? It happened a long time ago, and you were born into it whether you wanted to or not. Your beautiful, precious, sweet little children were born into that. And you and I are to blame for that because we would have done exactly the same thing. We would have done exactly what Adam and Eve did because of our hearts, because that's what it is. But you know, there's moments in our life where you have to understand, like, you know, sometimes maybe you sin and you're not necessarily meaning to sin. You know, I'm driving down the interstate and I find myself going 90 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. Oh, I just wasn't paying attention. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, don't sit there and lie. Of course it's happened to you, you know. Some of you break the law on purpose. It's like, I'm going to go, right? I mean, you're, get out of the way. You know, and you're like, it's a blatant disregard. You're breaking the law. Therefore, you're blatantly sinning. You're, you know, anyway, different story, different day. But sometimes there's blatant disobedience, right? And sometimes we allow Satan to influence our hearts. And sometimes we do things that we don't necessarily want to do, right? Romans chapter 7. Listen to what it says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh. I am of the flesh. Yes or no? We're just like Paul. We're just like Paul. We're all of the flesh here. Sold under sin. Yes or no? Yeah, you absolutely are. You're sold under sin. For I don't understand my own actions. Yes or no? I mean, think about that for a minute. Like, you know, you lose control. Yes or no? Okay, you're kind of getting quiet on me now. Wait, you lose control. Yes or no? Don't you sit there and lie to me. Because we all do it. You find yourself, someone says something bad about somebody, you jump in on that train and you start, and before you know it, you've got a full-blown conversation that's gone south real quick and you never even know how you got there. You ever driven somewhere and you don't remember how you got there? Like, you just drive. You get in your car and before you know it, you're in Louisville shopping in the mall and you're like, how did I get here? I don't even know what happened. Teenagers don't understand that yet, but adults 100% do, because you get in the car, you cranky, you go. Mike Moore is you drive for UPS. I guarantee you, on this man's route, he's not thinking, okay, insert the key, turn on the car, press the gas, turn the blinker, okay, get this box. You're doing it without even thinking about it, right? That's what happens, right? That's when people play video games, right? And they're like, you know, hand-eye coordination, it's just muscle memory, right? And sometimes now driving, it's muscle memory, right? And sometimes when we sin, we just do things because it's muscle memory. We've trained ourselves to sin. Yes or no? You absolutely have, because you know the sins that you can get away with that nobody's going to know about. Don't you sit there and lie to me. You know which ones I'm talking about. You know the sin inside your soul that you sit there and you try to hide from the Lord. Although the Bible says there are no hidden corners. There are no dark secrets with the Lord. He knows all. So what you're doing is just you're lying to yourself, right? You've traded the truth for a lie, which is what Satan exactly wants from you. For I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I don't want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Because it is sin that is in you. And when you understand this and you understand this moment right here, then you understand exactly where Judas was when he betrayed Jesus. Because of the sin that dwells within us. John Piper speaks specifically to this in an article. I love what he says right here. He says, this is bad. Here's what he says. Satan does not take innocent people captive. I'm going to say it to you again. Satan does not take innocent people captive. Do you understand that? He goes on. There are no innocent people. Satan has power where sinful passions hold sway. You are giving him the authority in your life and the power in your life to ruin you. We do that on a daily basis. This is not something that's made up. This is not something that is specific to one person. This is not specific to other people. Every single person. Judas was a lover of money, and he covered it with a phony external relationship with Jesus. And then he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But please, let's go back one line. Judas was a lover of money. Insert whatever it is for you. Whatever your passion is, whatever your sin is, you know what I'm talking about. Whatever the thing is in your heart and in your life that you are addicted to, that is your Judas. That is your moment. So Judas, it just happened to be money. And he covered it with a phony external relationship with Jesus. And this is important. Because if you're here this morning or you're watching on TV and you have a phony relationship with Jesus, you're in a bad, bad place. And in need of a Savior whose name is Jesus. And he is the only one that will ever fix that. He's the only one that will ever make that right. Because here's the great news. Jesus, even though he knew what was going on with Judas, allowed Judas to sit at his table. Jesus still brought Judas in to this most intimate Passover supper and set him at the table and ate with him. Do you bring your enemies to your dinner table? No, because Jesus didn't count Judas as an enemy. Because Jesus loved Judas regardless of what he knew that he was going to do. He loved Judas. Why is this important? Why is it important that Jesus allowed Judas to sit there? Because I want you to know that Jesus is a good God. He is a God that loves you unconditionally, who loves you uncontrollably. From the beginning of time, he has kind of set this up, right? Remember back in Acts chapter 20, we're kind of going this with our students right now, but back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, it says this. It was when God gave the Ten Commandments. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Because he is setting up the scene to say, I am a good God who wants to take care of his people and deliver his people from the hatred and all of those things that are going on. He sets this up because, again, he is a good God who loves his children, who loves his bride, right? We read throughout all of Scripture how he cares for his bride and he loves his bride and he sacrificed for us and he provides for us and he loves us even though we daily betray him with a kiss. Don't tell me you don't. Well, I had a quiet time this morning. I feel awesome. Reading the Bible, praying. 30 seconds later, get your... You start saying something to your kids that you shouldn't say, or maybe to your spouse that you shouldn't say, or you begin thinking things in your brain that you shouldn't be thinking, or maybe you go speeding down the interstate because you're late, or maybe you start cussing in your brain, maybe you start thinking about things that people have done, or maybe you start doing things like you have your quiet time and just bam, the devil hits you right square between the eyes, right? He's like, oh yeah, you think you're good. Let me remind you how bad you are. And we all do it. Yes or no, we all do it. Don't be quiet now. We all do it. We're all in the same boat. Doesn't matter if you're 90, doesn't matter if you're 9. It doesn't matter. We all do it. And we're all in the same boat in need of a Savior, right? We are in need of someone to come on our behalf, right? So when we sit here, we talk about the sin and we talk about Judas and you know, whatever your sin is, whatever's going on right here, you're just like Judas. So don't sit around and point at your neighbor. I mean, you're condemning your neighbor for the sins that they commit, right? What's the Bible say? You know, you might not want to get the speck out of your neighbor's eye without getting the log out of your own eye. And we're all in that boat. That's every one of us. That's for sure. But we betray him, right? And the truth is that we need a daily dose. We need a daily dose of Jesus. Because here's the thing, like the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? And I don't know anything about that, clearly. Apples, me, no. Like we don't, cake, yes, you know. But apples, I don't know anything about that. And I don't even know, sorry, I don't even know if that's true. I don't know if an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Anybody know that to be true or not? I think that's fake. That's a lie. Thanks, Mom. You know, kids, don't eat those apples. Just kidding. Get the apple slices. It's better for you. It's great. We love apples. But here's the truth, right? So I don't know if you read your Bible, and I don't know if you have a prayer time, and I don't know if you spend time with the Lord or not. But what I do know is that if you're spending time with the Lord and you're reading your Bible and you're thinking of things, whatever is noble, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, if it's excellent, you know, think on these things. You know, if we're doing those kinds of things, then we're filling our heart with all of these things that are full of God, and it's going to bleed over into our life, right? It's going to bleed over into our conversations. It's going to bleed over into the way that we act. And then what's going to happen is our heart's going to be full of the Lord, and then we're not going to have room for the devil to sneak in and take over our hearts. And so then we're not going to be like Jesus, right? Because if we fill our heart with the love of Christ, then there's no way that we can allow Satan into our hearts to take over to do the things that we don't want to do. That was weak. So there's a huge difference between us and God, right? We struggle, but listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2, the second part of this is 4 through 6, and it says this. But God. And we have to love scripture verses that always say, but God. Because he always steps in at the exact right moment. It gives us exactly what we need when we need what we need it, right? I mean, it's right there. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He loves us. He loves you regardless of you. And that's something that we should be able to get behind. That's something that should give us some encouragement. Because I'm going to tell you, if there's somebody that I need to love me, it's going to be him. He's the one that I need to know that he loves me, because I'm going to tell you, I'm a mess. And I hope you're a part of the Me Too movement. Me too, John. I'm a mess. And you know that you need the love of Jesus in your heart and in your life. And I know that some of you think that you're good just because you're good, but that's just not true. Because without the love of Jesus, you're nothing. Without Jesus in your heart, you're nothing. Without a relationship with Jesus, you have no hope. And see, there's some theologians that argue that Judas was never a true believer in Christ. To have betrayed him like that. People argue whether he was even a believer because of his phony relationship. I don't know if he was or not, but I can tell you this. I am a firm believer in Jesus, and I betray him. And I'm not proud of that. That's not something that I want to walk around and wave a banner of saying, hey, look, I betrayed Jesus. But it's the truth. And if you're honest with yourself, it's the same thing with you. But Jesus loved us enough to sit us at his table. This morning, we took part in the Lord's Supper. And so it should be a vivid reminder for you immediately of the love and the forgiveness and the grace that he offers. As you were able to sit at his table, even though he knows who you are and what you do and all of these things, I doubt very seriously that if this scenario was different and it was me, I'd be like, you ain't sitting at my table. Get to stepping. But that's where Jesus is a lot different than me, right? See, because Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, back in Genesis, when he says things like, let us create man in our image after our likeness. Thank God that he created me after his likeness and not Mike Moore's likeness or John Allen's likeness or Steve Boyd's likeness. It doesn't matter like whose likeness. Thank God it's after the creator God, the Trinity that we believe in, because Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, courageous, wise, merciful, slow to speak, resilient, perceptive, forgiving, obedient, full of faith, humble, generous, passionate, perseverant, godly, prayerful, truthful, sacrificial, righteous, integrity, fully alive, growing, thankful, diligent, excellent, jealous, intimate, friendly, servant-minded, confidence, flexible, unafraid, valuable, inspiring, calm, nurturing, healing, discerning, lovely, and praiseworthy. And these are all things that God is, and I strive to be, but I know that I fall short. And thank God he created me in his image, because these are things that he doesn't have to struggle with. See, the things that he doesn't have to struggle with are all the things that I am: broken, poor, destitute, deadly. And I hope and I pray that this morning that you see the God who loves you, the God who wants a relationship with you, and that you understand your place in this world and you are not him. So before you start trying to condemn other people, you need to understand where you came from and that you yourself are in need of a Savior who loves you unconditionally as well. So do not start pointing fingers at other people. Because when we want to truly love somebody, we need to truly love as Christ has loved us, correct? So let's love the God who loves us and understand he loves you. He wants a relationship for you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you so that you can have a relationship with him. And please, let me say it louder for the people in the back of the room. Jesus loves you. And I don't mean the little kind of love like, love you, see you, love you. Jesus died on the cross for you because he loves you. He pursues a relationship with you because he loves you. He wants to be a part of your life because he loves you. He doesn't want to give you rules and regulations. He wants to give you freedom because he loves you. He wants to break you of all of your sin that entangles you because he loves you. He wants to have your heart because he loves you. And when you begin to understand that Jesus loves you, and I know that it sounds really churchy. Jesus loves you. You learn it from a little kid, but there's a reason that we teach our kids that Jesus loves you. My daughter was singing Jesus Loves Me yesterday, and I'm just sitting there as I'm preparing for this message, being like, thank God that my daughter is beginning to understand this thought that Jesus loves her, because she's being taught by godly people at this church and through our adventure club and through other things that she's being taught about a relationship with Jesus, and that she is truly beginning to understand that he loves me and that he loves her. And I hope that you understand that regardless of you, regardless of me, he loves you. And he was sent to die on the cross for you. See, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. You could put your name right there. For God so loved you, that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God, and you are in control of all things. And Lord, we know that. God, we know that you love us. And Father, we ask and pray and beg for forgiveness for the many times, God, that we fail you. God, that we are sons and daughters of disobedience. And the many times that we put ourselves before you. And Father, the many times that we just don't understand. God, we do the things that we don't want to do, Father, even though we don't want to do them. We know that they're wrong, Father, and we pray that, God, that you would give us power to overcome. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for our people. I pray for people watching on TV. God, I just pray that you would move. God, that you would do things that only you can do. Father, that you would break chains that only you can break, that you would forgive sins that only you can forgive, because you love us, Father, and you want a relationship with us. And God, I pray that people would be strong enough, Father, because of you and your power, God, to deny sin, to deny the devil and his schemes, Father, and that we wouldn't trade the truth for a lie. God, that you would move and you would do what you do in us. Father, we know that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and Father, we pray against that. God, we pray that you would do things with your power and might that only you can do. God, we pray that we could have understanding of what it means to truly love. And God, that you would give us power to overcome. God, that you would forgive our sins and our failures. Help us to understand how deeply you love for us. We ask you in your name, amen.
Let's stand and sing together. The goodness of God, thank you, Lord, for your mercy.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake, till I lay my head. Oh, I will see of the goodness of God.
And all my life
you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life,
Lord. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God.
Your goodness, Lord.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Sing that again, your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Yes.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life, Lord.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. Yeah, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord, for being good. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that overflows into our lives each and every day. Help us to remember that, that you're for us, not against us. That your love is running after us, God. You love us with a love like no other, God, and help us to love others in that same way. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Good job, guys.